All right, and it is The Avenue. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We got a lot to talk about. Not the least of which, gentlemen, is that game this afternoon. That was incredible.
You're going to give me a heart attack.
That's like, cool.
That's ridiculous.
It's entertainment. That's what you
that's
want.
That's what it is.
Right. It's no fun if they blow them out.
Now, I'm glad they won, but this is every game so far this year has been like
it's
that.
Not fun when they blow either.
Yeah, exactly.
But that shows you something.
At the end of the day, at least they're winning.
Well, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
It's even more
they
painful
did.
When
well,
that's,
they well, that's
were
not,
all like last season where they come right onto the brink of winning and then blow it.
Well, let's not act like they're 4-0, Brittany. They're only 2-2.
Hey,
again, they're ahead of the curve.
That's right. Show some appreciation.
That glass is half full.
And that's Manziel's glass.
Oh, no.
Red cup, pink drink.
Now, we first must take this moment to celebrate. This is the first time the four of us have been together in a while. In the last few weeks. Oh, you know, yeah, the family is all back together.
I know. The fans are gathering outside in celebration.
There we go. Thank you, Antoine.
I wonder who Antoine missed the most.
You ain't supposed to pick favorites amongst your family.
No,
you
that's
know
right.
He's got favorites.
No. All right, and by the way, it's happy birthday to the late lamented Bernie Mac.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
you
is.
Said the late romantic Bernie Mac.
Lamented.
Oh,
wow, dude.
If you watch,
have
the
you
show,
been gone that long?
I
am a Bernie Mac was one of my favorite comedians. So yeah, it sucked when he died. So
yeah, but yeah. You know, we ought to at least remember him and recognize him and say he meant something to us. So.
Watch his documentary on Netflix.
There you go.
I cannot remember what it's called.
I used to quote Bernie Mac's lines a lot in broadcasting school. Like we would walk around talking a whole bunch of Bernie
Seriously.
Mac stuff. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now most of the lines I can't repeat on the air right now, but
yeah, I was gonna say not on this show you're not.
Right.
That's right. When I was trying to impress girls, I used to repeat lines from Nietzsche or something like that. Kierkegaard.
Well, it doesn't take that much nowadays, Doug.
I work too hard is what you're saying, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, you need to go get the back episodes of the Bernie Mac show.
Well, you forget. I went to college in New York City, so that was kind of expected there.
Oh, yeah, because they were all they were all bourgeois.
No kidding.
If it's good enough for Carl Reiner, it's good enough for you.
Hey, okay. Now remember, Denzel Washington went to the same school I did.
Carl Reiner was on the Bernie Mac show.
That is true.
Yes.
Okay.
That is true. So
I wasn't invited.
You've been invited now.
You didn't make the right
catch
call.
Up.
All right. And just so everybody knows, if you want to get a hold of us, call us at 216-901-0945 or tweet us at The Avenue Radio or post a message on Facebook at The Avenue Radio or Instagram
at The Avenue Radio.
And no kidding.
Yes, sir.
Or the 800 number is?
That we never give. What is it?
1-888.
281-1110. 281-1110.
Well,
you watch you watch late night TV, don't you? Because that was a total phone call girl voice that you just did there.
Was it?
Yes. Yes.
I know nothing about that. I know nothing.
Well, how's everybody doing? It feels like it's been forever. I miss you guys.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have everybody back together for a little while. But tell us about your weekend a little bit, Darv. You understand
oh,
you were
goodness.
Busy.
My weekend and my week has been crazy. Unfortunately, one of my great aunts passed away. So we had there was a funeral yesterday. And pretty much,
yesterday.
If you know any, I'm setting it up, Mr. Cato. Don't jump ahead of me. I'm setting it up.
Step on his lines.
Right. Here. You know, I'm trying to set it up. Now, if you know anything, it's like, okay, I'm African American, come from an African American family. So these days end up looking like Tyler Perry movies. Like, this is typically the way
Madea
it goes.
Madea rolled on up to the funeral.
Exactly. This is the way it rolls. So, you know, we started at 9 o'clock. In the morning, around when the funeral was. And by the time I finally got home, yes, with prayers, we were in the church. We were all, most of us were behaving, you know, it was good. It was good. And then I finally ended up home at around the 9 o'clock hour somewhere at night.
12 hours later.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You prayed that entire time.
I had to at certain points of the day.
You were praying, dear Lord, get me home. Dear Lord, why did I drink so much? Yeah, I hear the prayers.
So put it like this.
Oh, Lord, Jesus is a fire.
No kidding.
So we, you know, our family, we we enjoyed each other's company. There was a lot of members because I have a very, very big family. So
yeah,
there was
a lot of that. How many people were there?
Oh, my goodness. I would say for my Aunt Susie's funeral, the entire church was filled and probably 70 to 80% of it were related.
Wow, that's great.
The vast majority of the people.
That's great, though. But what a great time for a party and a celebration. You know, I'm a firm believer of having an Irish wake. And
explain to me what an Irish wake is.
We never have one here. We never have an Irish who's awake.
Ooh, that was racist. Go ahead, Doug.
Doug is Irish, and he's asleep at the wheel when he's there. What do you mean?
Nice to know that I'm not the only one that can say stupid things. Yes.
So, what is an Irish wake?
Well,
Doug?
It's when everybody celebrates the life of the dear departed and has a party. You know, mm-hmm. makes it a fun event. You know, you tell stories, you tell jokes, all the stupid things that person did. The idea is it's celebration of the life, and that's the way it should be. You know, when my mother passed away, not only did we have a big party, we went bowling after her funeral.
There you go. I want people to see
I've never done that before after a funeral, but what the heck? Why not?
Hey, why not? Exactly, because you know what?
She would have loved it.
And it sounds like to people who may not be familiar with it, it sounds kind of weird, but a lot of times, especially when you come from large families, it's unfortunate, but these are one of the few times that the family gets to gather together.
It is. It's a reunion.
Right. Weddings and funerals is when you get everybody together, and it's a pretty special time.
Right. So, you know, you live it up. And then if you're someone who, you know, are like us, share the same faith,
yes.
you know, there it's a different type of atmosphere.
Well, it should be a celebration because you're expecting that person to go on to bigger and better things.
Exactly.
As well as they should.
They're having a much better time than we are
right now. Well, not a lot better, but...
Yeah, this is heaven right here, Doug.
This is fun. This is a good time. Somehow or another, I don't see radio studios in heaven, but there might be.
There might be. You never know.
You know, what's the heavenly network going to be called?
Like there's a song, there's a gospel song that people sing that drives me nuts. And it's basically, the lyrics of this song is basically something to the extent of... You know, I'm going to do nothing. When I get to heaven, I'm going to do nothing but walk around all day. It's like, that is the laziest thing I have ever heard in my freaking life.
I want to go down and haunt some people. I'm sorry. That's what I want to do. But that's
really, Doug? You don't want to bask in the peacefulness that is heaven. You want to go down back to earth and cause trouble.
Well, you know, I've been that way my entire life. Why change?
Right, why stop there? Exactly. But it's like, who wouldn't want to, like... You know, get the questions to the world's mysteries, all the things that you wondered about. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Who would just want to just sit at home in heaven all day, just drinking Kool-Aid and eating popcorn? Like, I just can't. I can't see that. But and they sing that. They
all
they
the
sing
things that would probably be
of all the things in heaven,
you're
going to drink Kool-Aid.
Exactly. Exactly. You drink Kool-Aid. Well, because heaven probably has some of the best Kool-Aid, by the way.
Okay.
It's just the right amount of sugar.
Exactly.
Brittany, you may want to move over and sit closer to me as the lightning comes through the studio.
I'm telling you, when I die and go to heaven, I hope God remembers this conversation. And when I get to heaven, I hope the first thing he gives me is some Kool-Aid.
There's a glass of red.
So you can
welcome,
watch
Darvio.
The review of your life.
Oh, no. I love that. I love that. For those who don't know, what is playing right now is a song called "I Wonder If Heaven Got a Ghetto."
That's right. I wonder if heaven got a ghetto. Nicely done, Antoine. He is awake. I wasn't sure earlier, but
that was perfect timing, man. Like you couldn't plan that. Like that was fantastic.
And for those of you that are my age, there is a song called "Does Heaven Got a Ghetto?"
Yeah, right, exactly. For those who may not know, there is a song and it was a hit called "I Wonder If Heaven's Got a Ghetto."
Yeah, how cool is that? Well, okay,
if there hasn't been anyone else that we haven't offended yet in this segment,
well, we
just wait.
All right. Well, did you follow up with anybody on the Hip Hop Awards? I know you were there last weekend.
Yes, the Hip Hop Awards, it was a great experience.
I bet you had a good time. It must have been interesting.
I had a good time.
Brittany and I were here holding down the fort.
Yes, and I have
been there.
Eloquently.
And I appreciate that.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
It was
that.
Nice that you called in from your limo.
You guys should have joined us and there should have been a real show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what, though?
There,
I like
there.
The,
yeah, you should have come there.
I like the fact, though, that we were We were able to dynamically use the fact that there are four people here.
And yeah. Well,
we had two people promoting because I was passing out Avenue cards and everything. And, but I mean, it was, in all seriousness, it was a great experience. One of the things that I've always liked, I like being around other creative people. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of energy that you get from being around creative people that you don't get from being around people who aren't creative. Not saying that there's anything wrong with people who aren't creative, but it's just when you're a creative person and you're around other creative people.
Why did
people,
he look at you, Brittany, when he said that?
Why are you always trying to?
I wasn't looking because I was already rolling my eyes.
Why are you always trying to start some stuff, Doug? I just got back. I'm on Brittany's good side, I think, for right now. Like, I haven't done anything yet.
Briefly. It won't last long.
Like, me and Brittany, we're good right now.
It won't last long, but that's all right.
But yeah, so it was a great experience just being around all those creative people. It was fun.
I bet. So, you know, are we going to see any of them on the Avenue?
Of course.
How wonderful.
Of course. And, you know, I did establish a relationship with a guy. I think I may have mentioned this on my phone call or not. I'm not sure. But he has a company that sells these water bottles that have LED lights on the bottom of it. It's the coolest thing in the freaking world. And he, like, a bunch of people bought them at the award ceremony.
The models or the LED lights?
Mojo Water.
Yes, Mojo Water. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Exactly. Shout out to Ray, who's the guy who's in charge of Mojo Water here in Cleveland.
I'm so excited, Doug. It doesn't have green pills.
How much is a bottle of water with an LED light in it?
The suggested retail price is $2.50.
You're kidding.
That's the suggested price. How much is it actually going for?
Well, that night, it was going for $4. But on average, it'll be $2.50.
They had a captive audience.
Yes, they had a very captive audience. And, I mean, it was cool. People were using it as, like, glow sticks.
Shut down all the water fountains.
No, we don't want to besmirch the reputation of our good friend.
No, I love the product. McKenzie. I think it's a fantastic product. And there were a lot of things like that. And I'm sure later on in the evening, we'll get back to
some of the
experiences.
I'm sure we can have an intellectual discussion about LED lights and water bottles, but we'll do that.
You almost said LSD, Doug.
Hey, stick around. We've got
a different show.
We've got to catch up on our fantasy football league. There's some interesting things going on this weekend, and we have county executive candidate Jack Schron,
the plain dealer endorsed county executive.
In the next segment, we're looking forward to that. You're listening to The Avenue. We'll be right back.
This is Darvio the Kingpin Morrow. Meet me at the corner of culture and entertainment with Brittany Williams, Doug McGill, and the Andre Cato on The Avenue, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. on AM 1420, The Answer.
Welcome back to The Avenue. This is Darvio the Kingpin Morrow alongside Brittany Williams, Doug McGill, and the Andre Cato. Hit us up at 216-901-0945 and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Avenue Radio. And our guest this evening is a man who just received the endorsement of the plain dealer, as well as, ironically, a friend of my family, State Senator Shirley Smith, running for county executive, Mr. Jack Schron. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Good evening, Avenue team.
It's been a long day.
They're kind of blending into one another.
They all kind of get mixed up when you're doing this as long as you've been doing it, right,
yeah,
Jack?
Yeah, they do. Well, I haven't been doing this part long. It's just this campaigning. It does tend to get started in the morning, and I started with a church service down on Euclid Avenue at 8 o'clock in the morning and finishing up here on another avenue with the radio. That's kind of neat to be.
Right. Were you at the same church service that
Darvio
was at?
I don't know. There's one nice thing about Cleveland and Cuyahoga County is we have so much broad breadth of church opportunities. It's very refreshing.
Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah. Well, this is the church of Reverend Jack Daniels.
Ah, no, we were not that same church. I don't think they were serving. The service I was at, this is Universal Communion Sunday, and so it was very, very nice to be at the church there. And then I went to a second church at 11 o'clock and had communion a second time. So
Well, Darvio was at what we call an almost Catholic service. There was a lot of water and wine.
Okay.
Anyway, Jack, we do have to say congratulations on getting the endorsements of Bob Reed and Shirley Smith.
Well, don't leave out Thomas O'Grady, because Thomas started the ball rolling also.
Hi, Thomas O'Grady.
Yeah.
Well, now that's pretty special, and that must have meant a lot to you in your campaign, because I know Shirley is a pretty outspoken gal, and for her to come right out and say that she's endorsing you really, I think, should mean a lot.
Well, it did. It meant a lot to have those three individuals step forward and say that, yes, they would have liked to have run for and been elected, nominated by their party, but they were not, and they looked out there and at the horizon and said, okay, which of the two candidates do they think best supports their points of view and can best achieve the goals and objectives for the county? And so I was honored to have all three of them step forward, and Shirley and Bob Reed stepped out just this week, and Thomas earlier last week.
And that really gives it the patina, I think, of a nonpartisan campaign, doesn't it? It really makes it think they're really just focused on what's best for Cuyahoga County and staying away from partisan politics. That's really a pretty special thing.
Well, and I think that in the run up, I heard somebody say also that on Sunday we received the Plain Dealer endorsement, and it was terrific. It was just meant so much, but when you read within that endorsement, that's what one of the key things that they were talking about was the nonpartisan aspects, because there was 11 of us who were elected 4 years ago to be part of the new county council, and there's no question the train could have come off the track and could have gone into a way that became dysfunctional. We didn't let that happen. We all of us worked very hard together because we knew that the public was depending on us to make sure we left the vestiges of the past behind us and started on a new path down there with nonpartisan attitudes. And again, you'd be hard pressed to find that coming through. And there was a real concern about my opponent bringing that kind of attitude of what's going on in Columbus things of that nature.
Well, he is very blatant about claiming the partisan label, and I think all the more reason because of the way this county charter has gotten started and is working, that it's all the more important that we have an executive in charge that really focuses on what's best for Cuyahoga County and is not party focused. I that's a big thing.
Yeah, I even had tried to put forth a charter amendment, and I really believe that if it was put forth to the voters that they would pass it, which was to create nonpartisan elections for the county executive, the county council, and the prosecutor, on the basis that we have 59 communities in the county, and of the 59, I think 56 are all nonpartisan. So if you think about the community where you're listening to this in Cuyahoga County, you're probably voting in a nonpartisan election for your mayor and your city council. Why not for the highest office in the county?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. And I think most people don't realize that there are most of these communities are really nonpartisan, their elections. And, that was something new to me once you brought that up.
So. Now, for those who may not quite understand or who don't really even pay attention, what is the difference? Explain to people what the difference is between what would be called a partisan election and a nonpartisan election, and why you think it's important for the county, at the county level, for it to be nonpartisan elections.
Yeah, I just think that there's not a partisan way in which we would run our health and human services out there. If that single mother needs help and support, I don't really think that she would be concerned about a Republican or a Democrat or independent way of providing those services. If we're trying to drive the economic development engine of this county and trying to bring jobs back here to northeastern Ohio and to grow the jobs that already exist, I really don't think that anybody cares whether the organization they might be working for is a Republican, Democrat, or independent. There's no such thing as a check that's partisan out there. It just comes out there from their employer, and the job is should be looked upon in that same way. So in my economic jobs plan, the party is irrelevant, and it's always in the best interest of what's out there for the county itself.
Well, that needs to be repeated often, and we'll help you do that. One of the things that I did want to mention, I think I had a great showing at the debate on Monday at the City Club debate, which they had to move to the Renaissance because it was oversubscribed. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. I have to say, it was a good week for the Backjack and the Schron campaign, because we started on Sunday with the Plain Dealer full page endorsement, which I don't know for the facts or whether it is or. But I was told it was the only time that anybody's ever seen a full-page endorsement. And then we went into the debates. And I think that if you want to look at the debate and see exactly how we fared, it's all up online. So go look at it. I was kind of disappointed. I thought IdeaStream might have seen how they were the ones held the copy for that. I was hoping they were going to run that today on Sunday's IdeaStream. Then we went into Tuesday, in which we had an opportunity to talk with my opponent and myself, with the Harvard and the Virginia Business School and Wharton and Kellogg, we all got together and got a chance to present to a number of business folks. And then Wednesday with Shirley Smith and Bob Reed coming and supporting us. Then I think Wednesday afternoon, the Column Post article came out on us, and I just think was informed that you're going to be seeing another endorsement that's going to come out very soon in the next day. Out there, so it was a good week, and it was topped off last night by going to the 100 Black Men event and over at the Intercontinental Hotel to see the recognition of all the quality of things that were accomplished here in Cleveland and Cuyahoga County by some terrific individuals that were recognized.
Well, that's a heck of a busy week. Do you have to reintroduce yourself to Mary Ellen every now and then?
Mary Ellen who? Mary Ellen's my wife of 44 years, and she was with me at many of these activities, so it was great. She was with me last night at the 100 Black Men event. She was with me on many of these cases. But you're right. I didn't have any idea that it would be 7 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night every day for almost probably 2 or 3 months here is what it looks like.
Well, with the week that you have, that's one of the reasons we are excited to have you on tonight. Does that make you feel that you're really getting some momentum now?
Well, I think what it says is that people are recognizing that this, not Jack Schron, the individual, but this race is gaining some importance. And it's nice to know that some of it is coming the way of the campaign also. But people are starting to look at this and say, wait a minute, this is the second highest office probably as an executive in the state of Ohio. It's mm-hmm. $1.3 billion. And to put that in perspective, the budget, that's larger than many of the states in the union. We have over about 1.3 million people, which again is larger than some of the states in the union. And the size of the organization itself has roughly 7,000 employees. So it's a job of importance, and people are, I think, starting to look back and say, wait a minute, what do we want when we put somebody in this position? And actually, when I finished my debate, I tried to reference it as if you took a job description and you call it county executive, and then you have applicants, and in this particular case, there's only going to be two applicants that you're going to have to choose from, and then you look at the resumes of each and say, okay, which one do I want to hire? Because when you check that block off, you're literally hiring somebody to run that $1.3 billion organization.
Well, indeed you are, and that's an important job, and it's certainly highly visible now. And I think you're getting some more attention from higher-ups within the party. Isn't Kasich coming in a week or two to help you out a little bit?
Yeah, he is, because I think that, and I've heard my opponent say that he can work well with the folks down in Columbus, but I guess I would beg to challenge when Governor Kasich comes here and is supportive. I think there's a high likelihood that he's going to win governor. I think there's a high likelihood that my ability to work across party lines is indicated by the Plain Dealer article, and actually the Column Post is extremely positive. But I think it's a good thing because I'll be able to at least have a voice for Cuyahoga County at a level that I think will be receptive. And so I think, yes, it's great to have Governor Kasich here. It's even more important that if the county executive can have a great relationship with the people down in Columbus, it will actually improve our ability to get our voice heard down in Columbus.
Now, talk real quick. We have about a minute and a half left before we have to go to break, but talk about why it's important to have a good relationship with Columbus and the things that, you know, how that benefits Cuyahoga County.
Well, I think just to, as a little example, I know that my opponent again challenged that dollars weren't coming to the local environment, and I quickly pointed out that Opportunity Corridor, that's a decision that the governor made, and why we need to coordinate when this Opportunity Corridor for the first time will link 490 right directly into the University Circle. The same thing with the bridge being on an accelerated pace, the second bridge. So it's very important, I think, that our voice gets heard, and we make sure we bring all, the maximum amount of visibility back here to Cuyahoga County when projects and things of this nature. I'm not going to stop trying to create jobs and move jobs from any place in the country, and I want to have a governor that understands why it's important to bring a job. Who knows? Maybe from Wausau, Indiana, from California, from any place in the world, and I want it to land here in Cuyahoga County, and I want a governor who's supportive of that.
All right, more with Jack Schron coming up next here on The Avenue.
This is Brittany Williams, and you're listening to me on The Avenue on AM 1420, The Answer. And welcome back to The Avenue. This is Brittany Williams along with Darby Amoro, Doug McGill, and again, the missing Andre Cato. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests tonight, feel free to give us a call, 216-901-0945. And we are here with County Executive Candidate Jack Schron, who's actually a current member of the Cuyahoga County Council as well. Now, Jack, looking towards the future and kind of want to talk about what a Schron administration would mean for Cuyahoga County. What do you kind of see as the first 100 days of your administration? What are the key goals that you want to accomplish first off?
Well, the first thing is to build your cabinet, to make sure your cabinet comes together. You get a broad-based cabinet that is consisting of, you know, quality individuals from all aspects of the county, and the desire that they would participate in where we go as you fill out all the leadership positions. Then you move into the actual mission, and the mission, as I see it, is to focus on two of the main parts of what we in the charter have agreed to, is that is job creation, and the second one being the finishing of the reorganization and how we deliver the services. Health and human services are critical to our delivery missions out there. So I would focus on putting together a business improvement task force for the delivery of those services, consisting of bringing together the 7,000 employees that work in the county and want to make sure their voices get heard, the end users, the business community, all the people that are part of trying to deliver the best and the highest quality of services. And then the second would be also a job creation organization we put together that would be able to build around business leaders. Am I hearing a scratching? I hope that's not coming through the air.
Yeah, Jack, we're having some technical issues now.
Yeah, I'm using a landline, so I'm kind of hoping that wasn't...
Yeah, we were hoping you weren't hiding down the basement.
No, I'm not doing that. But it's a jobs creation, business, labor, public, the private sector organizations, education, to look at the jobs creation. So those would be the two things we'd kick off in that first 100 days. And as we start to look at that, going back to the business improvement side, one of the groups. And I've noticed throughout my 30 years of leading a manufacturing organization is the best place to get input on how to improve a process or a product is to talk to the individuals that are actually part of that process. And the same thing would be the case where we would need to make sure we're hearing the voices of all the good, great quality county employees who have a desire to sit there and say, okay, what can I do to do things better? How can I better supply services? What can we do to improve the way we use technology? I mean, we literally have multiple computer systems all not talking to each other. And today we're going through some RFQs, requests for proposals, and requests for quotes on how we would improve the quality of our computer systems.
I know. I've been through a few of those in my career as an IT executive, and there's nothing more frustrating to employees than having to enter the same data into multiple systems because you get errors that then propagate across all those systems.
Right.
And it creates an enormous problem in terms of productivity.
Yeah, and your customer service drops.
Yeah, it does.
Yep.
One of the things I wanted to ask, we've got a lot going on. Development in the flats. We've got lakefront development we're talking about, the opportunity corridor, you know, the completion of this hotel for the convention center. I mean, there's a lot of positive activity happening. And to build on that, you and I both know that job creation comes as a result of companies moving in and developing their base of employees here in the city or in the county. So one of the things you're going to have to do is be kind of like top salesman for the county, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I jokingly refer to it as it's the chief executive position of the county executive. But I also think you can replace that E with the chief employment officer mm-hmm. because I think that we need to reach out. But following like George Washington Carver, one of the great things if you read his history. He wasn't as much concerned about jobs as job creation and the idea behind that if you build the entrepreneur and an entrepreneurial desire within a community, the jobs will follow. The jobs are an outcome.
Yep.
And we need to tell our young people. We need to, Colonel Sanders was in his 50s when he created Kentucky Fried Chicken. So anybody that has an idea about a new concept, I mean, my oldest son and I, we started one called Tooling University when they told us you couldn't do that. You couldn't create an online university about welding and blueprint reading and CNC and machining. And they told us that there wasn't any interest in manufacturing. Well, I think there's about 70-plus employees now working at Tooling U right in the old Tyler Elevator building that never was even a vision a few years ago. So that's the kind of thing we need to do, and we can do it. My jobs plan says to focus on three areas, not because it's the exclusion of anything else, but I think that by focus, you actually achieve things. And the medical community is certainly our largest single employer. Manufacturing is still the largest employment community. And I call it media, but it means all of the richness of the entertainment area. It means the arts and all of the support that takes place to make that happen, the hotels and the restaurants and all the things that make the richness of life here, our sports teams.
Yeah, we have one of our members here, the Andre Cato, that's hoping a major studio comes here so, you know, he can get his acting gig here rather than having to move to California. But literally, Jack, you know, you're right. Those are very important things to focus on. And we really do, in the next segment, want to talk a little bit about what you call media or the entertainment industry, what we can do to encourage and develop that here in Cleveland, because there's a lot of interest in that. A lot of people that we talk to as representatives of The Avenue are very, very interested in developing the entertainment business.
Well, that's not to say that it's at the exclusion, of the medical and manufacturing.
Nope.
It just says that... If you're coming here like Philips, or you're coming here like Philips Electronics that makes their healthcare equipment up in Highland Heights, or you're talking about General Electric, and you go down to what used to be called the Medical Mart, now being called the Global Center for Health Innovation, and you say, we'd like to move your 100 employees from Sausalito, California to Cleveland. They want to know what else is rich about the environment here that they're going to be moving their families to. And when we tell them about the theater, we tell them about the arts, we tell them about all the stuff that goes on.
And we will talk about all that and more, Jack, when we come back on The Avenue. Stay tuned.
Sorry about that, Mr. Transition.
It's all right. We'll be back.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Andre Cato. I am the interesting people that Doug McGill dreams about. Sunday nights on The Avenue on 1420 AM. What's up? It's your boy, Señores. Muy interesante, a.k.a. Andres Cato.
At least this week.
What's up? You're back on The Avenue. Strolling along with us today is County Executive...
Soon to be county executive.
Whoa.
There you go.
Positive thinking.
Prophet. Thus saith the Lord.
Oh, no. Now I'm moving away from you.
County Councilman Jack Schron. And before the break went out, Doug McGill was nice enough to bring us into the foray of the wild world of entertainment where Darvio spends his week in trying to catch up on sleep. So we were talking, Brother Jack, about what's going on with bringing more entertainment and a diverse, I guess, all of the foundation of maybe the film industry, perhaps the music industry, the television industry, and the ancillary and cottage industries that go along with that.
Well, yeah, and I guess I call it media and more because I think that all you have to do is go down and listen to our spectacular orchestra and know that that's all part of what I'm talking about, and listen to or watch the anything that's going on in any of our sports arenas and know that that's part of that more, and go to our art museums and our new Museum of Modern Art that just opened up. I mean, you just can't help but understand that's all part of why people come here and have a richness. When I was sitting at dinner last night at the 100 Black Men, and the lady had just moved here probably 3 or 4 years ago from New York, and she said, I can't believe all that is here, all the richness that makes this so special.
Well, I know that there's been opportunities for us to do further film work, but we've been held back by the lack of facility. So that's an investment question. And, you know, do you have the connections in the industry where you can get somebody interested in investing in Cleveland? Because I know in comparison to even Toronto or L.A. Sound stages that we would be highly competitive, I would think, in terms of pricing.
Well, and I don't know, about the total amount of the investment, because I think what you have to do is you have to make sure there's a permanency to whatever you're going to invest in, and you have to have make sure the industry is committed to coming there with their products. So sometimes if you look at some of these film credits and things of that nature, they're transitory, and you got to make sure that there's a mutual commitment on both sides. If you build it, will they come? And if you build it, do they stay? And that's, so I think that's the cautious business person in me says that we got to have both feet solidly planted in the camp of commitment and then staying out there. So,
well, having a county executive that would be in office for 8 years would be a great start in developing those relationships, wouldn't it?
It would be. And I think if you look at Ivan Schwartz, he has a desire. I think if you look at some of the things that are going on here, like the Cleveland Institute of Art, when they generate their digitizing and their gaming graduates, unfortunately they leave here because there hasn't been a reason or a job here to keep as many as we'd love to have here. And so when asked by the plane dealer the other day, and I think I was even asked in the debate, would you stay for 8 years? And because I think that this is a bigger commitment, even to do any of these things we're talking about here, but also even to do the stuff we were talking about before the break on the software, to make a major computer change. I think as you know on that, Doug, it's probably a 3-year program at minimum.
Oh, and no, it's 3 to 5.
Yep, that's exactly the numbers I would use. Everybody gets scared when you say numbers that big, but that's the reality of it is.
Yep.
And so I was asked point blank during the debate, would you stay for 2 terms if elected? Obviously, that's the decision of the voters. And I answered unequivocally, yes, I would. Unfortunately, my opponent would not answer that.
I think the voters would dig it if you just stayed for 1.
Yeah.
That might be new. That's something new.
Well, the only reason you'd want to at least make the commitment, should the voters desire to keep you for number 2, is that I think that projects of this nature, as Doug pointed out, they will run over from 1 year to from 1 term to the next. And continuity is going to be critical, and you sure as heck don't want to be changing your leadership team, which is your administration team, if they're in the middle of a conversion. And the best way to ensure that is not to change the actual leader that's elected at the top.
All right. And on this, while we're continuing on this topic of, you know, the media and entertainment in particular, not to the exclusion of any other industry here, but, you know, specifically to those topics, and one of the things that we're talking about is the lack of infrastructure. I think the support of, you know, and encouragement of entrepreneurs and independents and things like that can really kind of help bridge the gap, the commitment gap, so to speak. So in terms of entrepreneurship, I know that's something that, that you talk about a lot in general, but do you, when you get into office, is that something that you would push entrepreneurship in not only media, but in any industry in general?
Yeah, I think that I'm very actively involved at Max Hayes High School. It's our last vocational tech high school. Actually, I'm going to be talking with somebody who runs an extremely great high school on the east side about seeing, he's in charge of one of the Cleveland Municipal Schools, about doing the same thing over on the east side. But when you look at somebody coming out of like a Max Hayes or one of our schools of the arts or the STEMs,
Jack, pardon the interruption. We're getting to the point where we're nearing to go back into break. Can we hold you over for a little while?
Sure.
Okay. Then we'll be back with County Councilman and soon-to-be Executive Jack Schron. You are tuned into The Avenue. Don't worry, Cali. Don't worry, Australia. Don't worry, Mexico. We see you. We'll be back. We got something for you.
This is Doug McGill. I like to hang out on Sunday evenings with some pretty interesting people. Join us on The Avenue at 9 o'clock on Sunday evenings, AM 1420. The Answer.
And indeed it is. We've got some interesting people here in studio, and we've got Jack Schron on the line. But first, you're listening to The Avenue. This is Doug McGill along with Brittany Williams, the kingpin Darvio Moro, and the man that never suffers from stress. He's just a carrier, Mr. Andre Cato.
Well, that would be right. That would be right.
You'd like to cause stress in others.
No stress.
No, not at all. Hey, anyway, we're talking with Jack Schron, who is currently a county councilman and soon to be county executive, we hope. And, Jack, one of the things we were talking a little bit about infrastructure, but I wanted to digress just for a second. I was reading something from Jack Welch. He said, before you are a leader, success is all about growing yourself. When you become a leader, success is all about growing others. So one of the questions I have for you in terms of taking over as county executives, the kind of people you'd bring in to grow into different jobs within county.
Well, I think that, like we indicated, and in the job creation and economic development, you've got to have people that have experienced it and done it and know what it takes to shake a hand and close a deal and ask for the order. It's got to be somebody who understands how important education and, like you say, entrepreneurship is to it and to making it a success. That's the area over there on the health and human service side. We've got to have people that clearly understand that the client, the customer, is the number one person that we're trying to serve. Everything we've got to do has to be focused on what can we do to do our job better. And so I want to have people that have experience in that area. So it will be a blend of every race, every ethnic background, what we can do to make sure we get all the voices of this community, of this richness of our community out there so that people can understand that together we're going to actually solve these problems.
Would you have participants from both political parties in your administration?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You can't. And as a matter of fact, I would hope that that party would not even be known any place along the way. I've got around 400 some employees that work in our company. I couldn't even tell you what party any of them belong to as long as they're doing their job. I couldn't tell you anything about their personal selection as far as candidates or anything of that nature. All I do is care about, and I do care about their family, and I do care about who they are and trying to help them grow in their lives and keep them educated and provide them with support.
Hey, Jack, Andre Cato of GrippingQuestions.com. Will you have me as a creative director and consultant of the administration?
Oh, no.
Maybe the art czar.
Yeah, one of the things we learned, Andre, is that to not make promises before the election. It's the only way to... if we learned anything from our past corruption...
I would take that as an unofficial yes.
It is that you would be certainly considered as a candidate if you wish to make an application. Absolutely.
Well, you know, he's an art project all by himself. You should see his hair.
Well, I think that actually talks to why we need to have entrepreneurs like what we're talking about here. And your radio show itself is an entrepreneurial effort of putting things together. You look at what Tri-C is doing with their levy and how they're trying to train in the hospitality area. I mean, there is not a single one of those folks who opened up the restaurant, Jonathan Sawyer or Michael Simon or Rocco Whalen, that they weren't sitting in some of these kitchen and saying, "Hey, I can do a better job than that than my boss." And sure enough, those folks become the entrepreneurs. So we want to have that. An administration is going to want to make sure we spark that in our economic development.
Well, we do, and we'd really love to see Cleveland become kind of a cauldron of entrepreneurship. And there's a lot of people you could bring into your administration that would help cause that to happen.
If you look at what Senator Voinovich, then Mayor Voinovich, had done, he actually created a task force of business practices to bring the best and the brightest together. And I think that we're right there at that edge of everybody saying, "Hey, let's all unify. Let's all come together." And why this position is so critical that we don't bring the vestiges of the past into the new administration. We want to make sure we start with a fresh approach. And that's what you're going to see with the Sharon administration.
All right. Well,
wait a minute.
Wait, hold on.
We need a translation for the streets. What the brother said was, "Let's get that guap." You know what I'm saying? "Let's unify, get this paper, let's get a check."
Yes, that is the translation. Hey, and you know what? I'm sure Jack appreciates that, because there's a lot of people that listen to our show that may not understand some of the language being used, so it has to be broken down to an everyman's level.
You got to break down Shronese to the street lingo. Is that what we're saying?
Now, Doug said that, Jack, not me.
Well, Shronese says the foundation for everything in this county starts with a job. Real simple.
It does.
From the point of having a job, it gives you the self-worth when you bring that check home and your significant other or your children see that. They know that somebody felt important enough to give you that was what you did for that day's activity was important enough to give you that check. And then you start to rebuild the family. We rebuild our neighborhoods, and then from there we rebuild the entire county, because the foundation is the check and the job and the job creation, and then we go from there.
All right.
Now, Jack,
we have 1 minute left.
Yes, we have 1 minute, and I have to ask before we let you go, one of the most gripping, most important questions that we've had in this entire segment. What did you think about those Browns today?
Wasn't that an unbelievable game? Oh my gosh! Yeah, we were over on the west side doing some campaigning. We said, "Hey, folks!" And we took our campaign team in, and we pulled into a little pub over there on the west side and said, "Hey, we're going to watch the last 5 minutes." That was just spectacular. Wasn't it great?
It was a lot of fun, and what a difference to the city it makes when you have a team that's exciting like that. Brian Hoyer reminds me of Brian Sipe. He just kind of throws it up, and, "Oh, well, somebody intercepts it. Let's just go throw a touchdown." You know?
Well, and I think we've got some other things. We've got 300 conventions coming here. Yeah. We've got the RNC, and regardless of a party, there'll be 15,000 journalists here. They're going to be doing that same kind of talking up this community here in this county. And we've got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so just as popular as the Browns, and it's going to be to have LeBron here, we get the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls when 15,000 journalists are going to be talking up our community here next in 2016.
Pretty good setup, huh, Darvio?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Anyway, Jack, in the last 30 seconds or so, could you please give us your website and where people can go to find out more information?
Sure. It's Jack Schron. That's J-A-C-K-S-C-H. RON.com. So if you can go to Backjack there, and you can see everything about what we're talking about, our 3M plan for job creation and what we want to do to finish reorganization of Cuyahoga County. Thank you very much.
And listen, Jack, thank you so much for being on with us tonight. We wish you Godspeed in this race.
And, thank you very much. God bless everybody there and everybody in Northeastern Ohio and Cuyahoga County.
All right. You're listening to The Avenue. We got more interesting things coming up, including an update on our fantasy football league. This is The Avenue.
The second hour of The Avenue begins right about now.
And we are back on The Avenue for the second hour. Thanks for joining us and hanging out with us. This is Doug McGill along with Brittany Williams, the Andre Cato, and the man that, after a full Sunday at church, has discovered that you cannot fall off the floor, Mr. Darvio, the Kingpin Moro. All right, and we were just talking about the Floyd Mayweather Reading Club that we're founding here. All right.
Now, wait. Let me clarify for once.
Yes, let it.
I have nothing, nor do I want anything to do with these comments.
Just to let everybody know, you may remember several months ago we had a singer, Devon, who was on the show, and his brother Jeremy was also with him. Jeremy is in the building today. So,
which one are you saying can't read? Like, how did he even segue?
Why do you?
He is trying to throw Jeremy under the bus.
Like, you have been. He has been stepping on my setups all day. You haven't even let me get to the setup. I am explaining how that came about. So the fact that Jeremy is in the building, we have been having conversations off of the air, and it just so happens that Floyd Mayweather and his issues with reading comprehension
came up. Nothing to do with me.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Get your shine on real quick. What you got to say to the people?
All right. First of all, this is just basically how it sounds. He said.
No. All right. Moving along.
Non-readers and illiterate people of the world. I love you.
He couldn't get it out.
He's right now laughing at his own joke.
I know. Well, I do that.
I'm not even laughing at my own joke. I'm laughing at Cato because he always stealing somebody's shine.
That's
what he's terrifying.
He was late to the Hip Hop Awards, y'all. I told his business.
I was on time, but thank you so much.
I love how Jeremy just
shout
put
out
him on
Amir,
blast.
Shout out
right?
B. Loran. Shout out McKenzie. Shout out Garth Infinite.
That was everybody from the Hip Hop Awards.
Who threw
and
you
shout
out,
out the what? Girl that he scared half
John
to death
Doe
by jumping on furniture.
Yes, we have to talk about that
You're
real quick.
Rome.
Let's talk
what
about
you mean?
Let's talk about this real quick. We didn't get a chance to really tell you guys everything that happened at the Hip Hop Awards, but we were telling you
Dre getting filled by the Spirit.
Filled by the Spirit.
Look, okay, so there's
in the middle
this kid.
Of a performance.
So explain. Go ahead. I'm gonna let you explain.
You have to keep
yourself
in mind that I was there for 3 days with Vince, as opposed to Mr. Morrow and Jeremy. We were there for, like, what, an event?
We went
were
to the after
events
party.
That you were at in Akron or something? Why were you late?
No. I'm saying I've been there for multiple events. I wasn't late. I'm always on time. I'm the captain. I'm the quarterback. I'm the coach. Okay. Now that we got that established.
Okay, Willie.
That was a good one.
All right.
Okay,
get out.
So there was a fellow that was being promoted all week there. Doing heavy promotion called Young Rome. He's from Cincinnati. And he had been winning in a very humble but stylish fashion, awards all evening. In fact, Cincinnati almost swept the awards to a certain degree with their representatives that had received various kinds of awards. So it's very humble. He's like, oh, you know, I want to definitely shout out Cincinnati, but I love the city, et cetera, et cetera. I love Cleveland. I love what everybody's doing. I love all artists. We're here together. So he comes up to do his performance and says, yo, before I start off my performance, I got to make this thing right. I need to let y'all know the background. Now, the song is called What You Mean. It's got an alternative title if you search the internet. But it's kind of like for all the naysayers that are detractors towards you, because he had been through a time where he got in trouble. He'd gone to prison for 3 years. He was now in school getting a degree and about to graduate in December, and also having all this, like, picking up great strides with his music. So it's like for all the people that are detractors to you and negative, et cetera, et cetera. You know, just make sure you ask them what you mean. When they're talking about what you can't do, say what you mean. And I just thought about the people I know and my life personally. I'm like, oh, I can relate to that. I really feel that sentiment. So once he kicked off the song, it's kind of anthemic. It was anthemic. Time to, yes.
So what does that Dre. Kind of mean?
Yeah, so you were jumping on furniture because of an anthem that you heard in
well,
his song.
Well, I've always been a very energetic and enthusiastic person.
That's how you explain it?
And when I'm in, when it's been on the dance floor or the concert hall or even church, I just go for what I know, man.
But let's also back up and
so I
were
to
you
up-
sitting in your assigned seat as well, or well, had you just perused a new seat?
Me, that is a fantastic
Kevin Hart
question, Ms. Williams.
Sweetheart.
That was a great
I'm just kidding,
question.
Brittany. Hold on. So, this is the thing. The Lord assigns my seat.
Yeah.
And he divinely appointed me to be on the floor.
Is that what you tell the bouncers when they kick you out?
Jesus told me to sit here.
I was there with my boy. I was there with the homeboy Yurdy was performing. He started to dap me up, but I didn't know if I would interrupt his flow. 8-bit genetic code was there. We got, you know, we built in politics.
What does that have to do with jumping on furniture and dancing
around? Well, here's
around?
The thing. When I got to
it
the
sounds like he's trying to explain
awards,
it to, in a way that makes sense, right?
When I arrived at the awards, I got there in a timely fashion. Uh-huh. So much so that I realized that I couldn't get down to the floor. And so I turned around to go to proper seating.
In a timely fashion.
Proper seating. What, yeah. Outside the exit?
He was on, like, they had the floor seats.
They had the floor seats with tables that are reserved for sponsors and various individuals of VIP status.
So he's sitting in someone else's seat.
Of course.
I was actually sitting at Majestic's table, I believe.
All right. Well, so, I'm not surprised at this.
So go ahead. Now, get to the lead up to how you got to the table jumping.
First of all,
the furniture jumping in the first
assault, the breach of your security and your events and preventing such things, you need to holler at me.
So really, this was an exercise in security analysis.
No, this was not.
telling them that Jesus told you to sit on the floor, you're going to tell them that you were testing their security system.
I didn't tell them anything. I'm telling people out there right now, if they don't want this to happen to them, they need to talk to me. They could possibly talk to me. I could maybe help them.
I think you have a whole new occupational future.
I was just about to say, that's your new hustle.
The word altruism comes to mind. It's not only anthemic, it's altruistic.
It is altruistic. Okay, so I get to the floor. Actually, security was kind of like, you know, there was a big gap that opened. You know,
a big
unlike
gap
the Browns,
that's called a door?
Unlike the Browns, I know how to get through the 3-hole and the 4-hole and all that. You know. So
or
I get on the
window?
Floor. And I'm just chilling there. I'm networking. I'm doing what I do. And I'm making my way around the floor, connecting with different artists and different individuals of note.
Staying three steps ahead of security.
I see the homies up there gasping for air in the Denver seats.
Not that high. We were actually, we had very good seats.
So, I don't know, your date might have been that high.
Ooh, all right.
So, funny I went guy. Over there and I was like, yo, I want to rock with the homies. I can feel this, you know what I'm saying? I feel love, I feel like, you know,
all the
overcomer,
energy.
The struggle, all the energy. And so I'm like, I'm going to run up there and, like, you know, just wild out.
Scared this girl half to death.
So I ran up the stairs. I was already marching my way up. I ran up the stairs. I'm getting, you know, I'm turning up.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
I'm
it's a
the
fire.
Stairs. I'm like, oh, it's kind of all kind of people. You got to hop
just
over.
For a cold
next
pop.
Thing I know, I'm up on top of the seats. I'm jumping up and down.
And did you not jump over somebody?
I don't know, because here's the thing.
Wait. Oh, that's never a good answer.
I've been doing this kind of thing my entire life, so this wasn't new to me. I wasn't surprised that I didn't jump on the girl. She was surprised, because she doesn't know Andre Kato's dance/concert
history. She doesn't know your vertical leap.
That's right. She doesn't know my vertical leap.
He could jump over a sheet of paper.
Oh, my goodness. Brittany is bringing those zingers tonight.
So we got I got up there by the homeboys. And they're like, oh, my God, that girl almost had a heart attack. And we look back and...
Because
like,
she's... And the reason why we said, oh, my God, she almost had a heart attack, that wasn't...
Oh, my God.
We weren't just making that up. That wasn't hyperbole. She was sitting on the side holding her chest.
No,
so
kidding.
It was like, oh,
because
she looks like
heartthrob,
she almost had a heart attack.
The young heartthrob had descended upon her and
probably
was in her midst. Boom!
She was probably mid to late 20s,
DeAndre
maybe.
Cato at DeAndre Cato.
So that shows
so
you that she
was... at least
it
wasn't some kind of 60-year-old woman.
If it had been some 60-year-old woman, he would have been in jail.
I make the ladies
faint. He was
hoping
that the Lord was telling her to give up her seat is what he was doing. But.
I think by the time that I walked past, Michael Jackson style, she wanted to give up more than that, Doug. She wanted to give me her bottle of water there. That was lit. A lit bottle of water.
After 10 o'clock.
No.
So I made it to the dudes. We were rocking. They were like halfway out of it. And then another song came on. We kind of rocked with it. Then I sat down and chilled out.
And we had to pretend for the first 10 minutes that we had no idea who he was.
What you mean?
Because everybody's looking at us like, what's wrong with that guy? And we're like,
There's a whole new
Who
chapter.
Let him in here?
He's having a good time, no drugs.
There's a whole new chapter in his book, Places That I Managed Not to Get Thrown Out.
And that's what makes him crazier. Like, he just said he's having a good time. No, he doesn't use drugs. He doesn't drink.
Oh,
he has no excuse. Like, you're just crazy.
Well, some people naturally become psychotic after a certain period of time. But his is temporally leveraged,
I guess. And we have, ladies and gentlemen, we have officially blown an entire segment and filled it with nothing that we...
Andre Kato, ladies and gentlemen, thank you!
And you just...
G'day.
He just blew out everyone's eardrums, and Antoine told you not to do
You're
that.
You're listening
time.
To The Avenue. We'll be back
People
shortly, and hopefully
that's what happened on the dance floor.
We'll have a little bit different discussion.
Get
we'll
back
be
to
right
what we originally wanted to talk
on The
about.
Avenue.
Why must you holler in the mirror?
Why can't we get that fabric verse on it? Lay
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Andre Cato.
Would you please
interesting people
shut the hell up?
Hi, this is Tom Licks. I'm the founder and chairman of Cleveland Whiskey. You're listening to The Avenue. Please, don't drink and drive.
Antoine, how are you going to do that right before we have to open the show, and then we have to try to pull it together real quick? So that we can remotely sound professional. Welcome back to The Avenue. This is Darvio the Kingpin Morrow, alongside Brittany Williams, Doug McGill, and this crazy man over here, Andre Cato. Hit us up at 216-901-0945 and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at The Avenue Radio. And we apologize in advance for anyone's eardrums that may have been blown out from this idiot screaming in the microphone.
No
at the
comments
last
from the peanut gallery. Pops tomorrow. Thank God he can't tweet.
Now, can we get? I guess we will make an attempt to get back to the topic that
Do
we were actually.
Him out so he can promote his cabaret and bail bondsman and stuff while I'm at it.
We'll get to that.
Okay,
we'll get to that.
Just since I'm here,
we
shout out to brothers too. By the way,
we're actually going
brothers
to
copy.
Make an attempt
Brenton.
To talk about. What we planned on talking about.
We did have
in
a plan.
The first
did we have a plan?
We did. We actually had an outline.
Wait, is this the man get the information on the women sketch video?
No, we haven't got to that yet.
No, we're not getting to that yet. What we wanted to talk about a little bit is entertainment, what's going on in the TV
this
world
is
there.
Entertaining.
In your mind.
Going to bring it to you in television soon.
A legend in his own mind.
There you go.
The Andre Cato.
Well, we were going to talk. We had been talking during the break about some of the new TV shows that are coming on ABC in particular. They have some really stupid ideas.
Yeah, what the heck is going on with their programming director?
Now, what was the one that you brought up? What was it? Selfie?
Selfie.
I asked anybody if they had seen, because something came up and someone said Selfie, and I asked if there had been any, when they'd seen a preview of this show that I'd seen these billboards for. I thought it was the stupidest, most generic name for anything since Chinese food at Maple Heights, Mapletown.
And Andre thought it was about him. So, all right. Now, poor Brittany, of course, grew up next to Maple Heights.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
Brittany just lost
it. And it was black and white. Like the old, remember generic stuff used to be either black and white box or black and yellow? It was black and white. Now, the food there is good if you get to go to Chinese food. I'm just letting you know. Although I think they changed the name. But off top, it was like, really? Effort?
You know, poor Antoine, our engineer, has spent the whole night with his finger near the dump button.
He just threw his hands up. He's like, screw it.
Look at that. I have put him into a place of bliss. He can relax now.
I'm not sure the word
bliss.
Yes, that is.
We can't see the computer screen, but I think he's updating his resume.
Again.
Okay, now, Brittany,
that was a good one,
you
Brittany.
Did see the promo about Selfie, right?
Well,
What is it?
I've seen the commercials, and what it appears to be about, because like I said, I haven't seen the show. I don't even know if the show's premiered yet.
I don't think so.
But it seems to be some kind of socialite actress who's got a bad image problem, and then who hires someone to kind of help her fix that.
Okay.
But part of her woes are, I think, illicit photos that were up on social media. She, in the trailer, she's... Like, I think she has a meltdown on a plane or something, so then everyone is, like, tweeting out all of the stupid stuff she's doing. So it's basically her trying to get her life back together.
Worse than a new Simon Pegg movie.
Now, what is that?
Oh, I can't remember what it's called. I don't even want to address it. Stupid.
Well, then don't
bring
it up.
I like Simon Pegg, but don't see it.
Do you know the name of it?
The idea is that he's, like, some low-rent photographer that's trying to get in with his big tabloid and then launch from the tabloid, I think, to it's like a high entertainment magazine. But he doesn't fit in whatsoever. He's not only socially inept, he
I saw the commercial
almost
for that.
aspires to be.
Yeah, I saw the commercial for that. I can't think of the name of it, and it sounds stupid, too. But the other stupid show that, and I believe this show has launched, it's been on the air for like a couple of weeks. And it's stupid, in my opinion.
It launched last week.
Did it launch last week?
Yes.
And it's
Tracy
another
Ellis.
Show on ABC called Black-ish.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that, and I'm like, what, you've got to be kidding me.
Now, Mr. Cato, I'm very intrigued to hear what you think about it.
I've only seen the posters and wondered, and I heard people around the community wondering about it because there's a bunch of billboards, especially on buses. What does it mean?
Right.
I kind of people kind of immediately put up a block against it, somewhat being offended, pre-offended. I wasn't really sure because, I mean, Anthony Anderson is very lovable, but he's not, to me, he's not the slickest. Writer in with the slickest writer, so I expected something to be kind of foolishness, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a preview on that. I haven't seen anything. Well, I did see Tracee Ellis Ross interview, and she said that at a station from New York City, she said that it was kind of about the idea that Anthony Anderson, they live in the suburbs. They're raising their kids, and this black family's raising their kids in the suburb. The old man is like the old school black man, but he's like trying to keep the kids. Like he's got all the old school values and trying to raise the kids.
Yeah,
some of
the grandfather's played by Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes. Right, correct.
And then she's kind of like in between. She's not overly concerned that the kids are going to be, I guess, whitewashed, so to speak. And then Anthony Anderson's character is hyper concerned with the fact that they may lose their identity or their connection to their quote unquote blackness.
And I guess the problem, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen.
And every week there's a moral at the end of the story.
I guess the problem that I have with it is, number one, it sounds cheesy. It sounds really cheesy. But the big problem, I have seen clips and previews and stuff too. But the big problem that I have is that it's almost, you could very well see it, whether it's meant to be this way or not, making a mockery of Afrocentricity.
Yeah, well, it is. We're kind of drifting into these kind of rigid stereotypes now, and that's what you see on TV, as opposed to things that were just entertaining, and it was kind of irrelevant what the race was.
Well, the thing about it to me is, I do understand that there is some value in wanting to keep some semblance of Afrocentricity and things like that. So it's not even necessarily the premise that I have that much of a problem with. I think it's corny, but it's not necessarily that. It's the fact that it's so over the top that it just makes a mockery of it. It makes it look like every black person who is concerned with Afrocentricity is a Black Panther.
Well, what does Afrocentricity mean to you then?
Well, get to your point first, Mr. Cato, because I know you want to make a point, and then I'm going to answer that question.
I'm going to say the nature of all this stuff has gotten ridiculous. It's like utterly absurd what's put out on television. It's all sophomoric or lower, if you can go any lower than that. And it's like fart jokes and class clown humor all over the place. It's everybody's doing everything. It used to be kind of creative to see someone do something that you know would not happen in reality. But now everyone shattered that reality and created this new reality where all the characters speak the same, sound the same, and they all do what you wouldn't normally do. They break social mores and social norms, and it leaves no parameters to make something outstanding.
Now, to answer your question, which I think is a very good question, to me personally, Afrocentricity is, it's not even necessarily a, you know, the way you dress or the way you talk or things like that, because you can have people who grew up in the suburbs that have Afrocentricity. To me, Afrocentricity is showing a genuine concern for the people who come from either where you came from or where your family and ancestors, et cetera, came from. And also, just as important, is having a desire to uphold the values that were passed down to you. So the values of faith, the values of family, things like that, that come from, and not to say that, you know, obviously that's not limited to a black thing, but in the context of the black experience.
Well, that makes sense. It certainly seems that something that's focused on, oh, it's very important to you personally, family and faith. And, you know,
well,
I just, you know, wondered if there was some connection to your roots there that I hadn't heard or seen. But
well, I think it all leads back to that. I mean,
it does.
Go ahead.
I can't expect more from ABC. I mean, white and white crime is at an all-time high right now. It's usually mental. Sometimes might be financially crippling. But when I have family, Modern Family, and then I have the other show where the people are all locked in they all go to this bar, and it's all about how they all hooked up or did not hook up or hooked up and broke up in the same night.
Oh, I think that show even got canceled.
Of course. You should lose your job if you did that show. And I don't care if we ever do business together. You should have lost your job.
You know what? I don't disagree with you on that. I mean, I think, and that's probably my biggest problem with Black-ish. It seems like there's been a big criticism in the last few years because network television has had very, very few television shows with people of color in the starring roles. So it seemed like someone sat in a boardroom and said, "Let's make a show with a bunch of black people in it." Like, that's what it seems so inauthentic. And that's one of the big problems I have.
Well, they did that with The Cosby Show, but it didn't, you know, resonate that way, did it?
But that was the thing. With The Cosby Show, it was authentic because it was just, it wasn't
a look at like black life. It was a look at life. Yeah, you just had, you know, Dr. Cosby and, you know, the family and everything. And they were just, it was real life experience. It wasn't contrived. It wasn't
exactly
trying
and
to
that's
constantly
the
hammer home a point.
And that's the difference. It wasn't like, hey, we're going to make a show with an all black cast. That's not what the Cosby show was. It happened to have an all black cast. It happened to have a majority people of color working on the show. But the subject matter and the content
it
was about life in general.
Show.
Blackish seems like this was someone. Blackish is the affirmative action of television.
I think that there was an aim with the Cosby show to show the normalcy and regularity that where everybody's kind of like,
just like
you can relate to this, we can relate to you, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Although
mm-hmm.
I recently saw on this is 50.com an interview with Khalil Kane, who played I think Q in the movie Juice,
mm-hmm.
and he
mm-hmm.
was saying that as a young actor coming into it, the late 80s, early 90s, around that period of time, that he was so motivated and excited because there was Manny, there was the Hughes Brothers, there was Spike Lee. You could have, like, you know, soul food or something like that. That was kind of, you know, something that's farcical by the Wayans Brothers. You got something deep and prolific, like, and gritty from a Spike Lee. And he felt that everything was opening wide up, and that was going to be the beginning of the burgeoning of a new scene and a new influence and a new acceptance of blacks in Hollywood and blacks doing business, you know, in the entertainment industry globally. And he said he's very disappointed that these many years later, these 20 years later, that it's not the case.
Well, I think it's because
we're back at square one.
Well, I think it's because, you know, black media and black art and black artists suffer the same fate that everyone else does. Where when one thing works, everybody in the industry says, "Let's do that,"
mm-hmm.
and then into the ground.
Exactly, it happens with everyone. I mean, you see, that's why you see the most amount of Italians working on shows that have something to do with the mob. You know what I'm saying? They do it with everyone.
Jack Schron.
I'm still waiting for an Irish show.
We can preempt this. There is one. It's about drunks on the bar.
Oh. Yeah, wasn't it called
I'm not
like,
kidding you. The kid is like half Asian, half white.
Yes, yes, you're
congratulations.
Right.
Wasn't it called like the Black Donnellys or something?
I can't
there
think
were
of the name of it.
There have been several, Doug.
Are you talking about the show that was on?
You need to watch more television. Put them books on. Stop watching Dumb Down Abbey.
Are you? We'll come back. We'll continue this conversation when we come back. You're listening to The Avenue.
Lower your standards, Douglas.
Doug, it's a lot of D-names. With special guest Jeremy in studio.
Yes.
Please.
Making noise from the sidelines. Now,
that's a dope beat. I forget about how that's fantastic.
Now, we were having a conversation about Blackish. During the break, we actually went to the back and looked at some of it. And I think we'll get back into that a little bit later.
Yeah, we will.
But if I'm not mistaken,
we interrupt this program.
Yeah.
To bring you
the commissioner of the Avenue Fantasy Football League.
The Swami of scoring.
Good evening. How you guys doing?
That was kind of awkward, Doug. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. What's wrong with your dad, man?
That's years of therapy I need to go through, but I don't think you have time for that.
Now, of course, we have to. This is Mark McGill, everyone. If you
Mark.
Haven't realized yet, before we get this started, we have to continue our tradition of asking you, what did you think about that Browns game?
Yeah,
did
you watch that, Mark?
Today?
I got to see the second half, so I'm really glad I missed that 28-3, 28-10 first half. I actually that less things got thrown against the wall that way. But in the second half, I mean, for them to come back like that, not give up at all, being down that much, it was pretty impressive. And you got to give it, they can run the ball. Ben Tate had 123 yards today, and he just came off, injured reserve after the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, he looked good.
And then Brian Hoyer coming back at the end of the game. All he hears is how Johnny Manziel should play. And, you know, he made a couple mistakes later on in that game that cost us some points. But he still, when we needed him most, he came through with a huge touchdown pass to Kelvin Benjamin Travis Benjamin after throwing another one to him earlier in the fourth quarter. It was pretty impressive. And the defense showed up in the second half. I just wish they'd show up all game.
Yeah, what the heck's wrong with the defense? You know, they're not showing up at all.
I don't know. I don't know if they're not taken to the coach's system or there's just too much turnover new players or what, but the secondary does not look like they're in sync at all. Joe Hayden's having a tough year. He's getting burned more than I thought he would.
Yeah, I think the secondary is really having problems.
Yeah, what's going on with
that's
Joe?
That's what's falling down on
too
us.
Too much partying. Don't follow Johnny Manziel. He don't know nothing. He's a rookie.
Well, I think the one rookie, Gilbert, that they drafted in the first round and gave a starting job, he's struggling. So that's one whole side of the field that's wide open. Mm. And again, the run defense, you know, wasn't there earlier in the season. And I think a lot of the secondary was peeking in to make sure they weren't giving up the big rushing yards and were a step slower against the receivers in the passing game.
So Joe needs some help?
I think Joe needs a little help. You know, today Buster Screen got burned three or four different times. I mean,
gets burned.
he was getting schooled by Kendall Wright today. That guy had a great game. We almost got to draft him. They took him two spots in front of the immortal Brandon Whedon.
I love how you said that with tongue firmly planted in cheek. Now, let's update real quick.
I love
where
how you got Sully a player and then like downgrade him all the time.
Let's update where we are. What is the standings in our fantasy football league, sir?
Well, you know, there's going to be some change in the top five. Avenue's fine team will eventually end up in first place. They had quite the week this week.
All right.
123 points. Luck gave them 22. They had Demaryius Thomas. If you saw that 4 o'clock, Denver game where Peyton Manning threw for 500 yards, about 230 of those were Demaryius Thomas, and he had two touchdowns. And also Arian Foster this week had two touchdowns. That was all on Avenue's fine team. So they're going to jump up into the top spot probably by 10, 20 points, dropping down. Inflatable Swan will actually take over the third spot, and then Pittsburgh will end up in second. Hometown Hoyers is right around where Pittsburgh is. Hoosier Daddy is going to jump up and probably into the fifth spot. Andre's team will stay where they're at in the sixth. Doug's team is probably going to drop down into right above the last place team, which is Douglas's team. That team is kind of, you know, I might have to call my brother up and have a little bit of a talk with him.
he needs help.
He does. I don't know. He's made a few moves, and they're just not working out. But you know what? It's the fifth week of the season. There's still a lot of time to climb up the rankings. There is an insurmountable amount of injuries going on right now. Yeah. So if you pay attention, for instance, Donald Brown for the Chargers went out. Second starting running back they've go out. And then Brandon Oliver, out of nowhere, little 5'8 Brandon Oliver comes up with 114 yards rushing, 58 yards receiving, two touchdowns. I mean, you know, go out, get him, put him on your roster for a couple weeks until Ryan Matthews comes back. It's pretty much a plug-and-play system right now with so many injuries.
So who should we, and along with other fantasy football fans, who should we be on the lookout for? Who should we be looking to add to our team? And if we have them on our team, who should we be looking to take off?
Well, right now, I don't know how he's doing tonight with the Patriots, but I'm kind of souring on Shane Vereen. He hasn't really been doing much. Ronnie Hillman might be someone you want to put on the team. Monte Ball got hurt today. He's been struggling anyway. Ronnie Hillman looked very, very good, ripping off 7 to 10 yard gains every time he touched the ball. He's still out there available. The Broncos have a new kicker this year, Brandon McManus, and he might actually be something. Kickers are important. I like to plug and play my kickers, find out who's playing Jacksonville or Oakland or somebody bad, and I know they're going to get a lot of points. You know, Philadelphia's kicker, Parker, you know. But Brandon McManus is the guy you're going to look at. Josh Hill, the tight end for New Orleans, he's the backup tight end. Jimmy Graham got hurt this week. No idea how long he's going to be out, but anytime some player goes out on New Orleans, you know they have a great passing attack. Go get that backup. Plug him in for a couple weeks and take those stats. Andre Williams, the running back for the New York Giants, came in this week. He had 65 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, go up, pick him up. He'll probably be playing more. Even when the starting running back Jennings comes back. One guy that is going to be fun, Dad, this is your kind of player. You should probably play him every week. You know, the underrated quarterback, Austin Davis, you know, for New Orleans, or for St. Louis, the Rams. He had 375 yards and 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He is just killing it for that team. And he's making guys like Kenny Britt look very, very good. Brian Quick looks very, very good. The backup running back, we don't know how long Zach Stacy is going to be the starter when Benny Cunningham looks as good as he did today with 7 carries for 47 yards, a touchdown, 3 receptions, 24 yards. And also Travis Benjamin, if you're desperate, the Browns wide receiver, I don't know. He's had 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks.
All right, Mark, we've got 5 seconds. We're going to pick this up when we come back. You're listening to The Avenue.
I'm Showtime Sean Porter, and when I'm not punching guys to a bloody pulp, I'm listening to The Avenue on WHK.
What's up? It's Andre Cato, and Sean Porter is first personal friend with me. What's up, Sean? How you doing?
Does he know that?
Shout out to the whole camp. I think he does now.
Okay.
Because I'm sure he listens every week.
Absolutely.
Faithfully. Probably retweets all of our tweets.
It puts him to sleep, I'm sure.
It puts him to sleep. It soothes him. It helps him escape.
Thank you, Doug, for that great on-air promotion of our show.
To escape. The rigors of the boxing world.
All right. Well, we're talking about football.
We're talking about football.
Why must you sing everything?
That was a song at the end of the movie with Goldie Hawn.
You're a strange man.
It was like supposed to be like somewhat of a rap. It was horrendous as a rap.
He's a strange man. Welcome back to the Avenue, and we are still here with
the commissioner,
Mark McGill. Now,
Marky.
Picking back up on what you were saying about Mr. Travis Benjamin.
Travis Porter.
Travis Benjamin looked very, very good today. For Brian Hoyer to look for him in key situations at the end of the game like that speaks volumes to the third-year receiver. He may be small, but he's got some good hands. He made a nice catch in the back of the end zone. He might be somebody you plug him in when you think, you know, hey, I don't got anybody else. This guy might get me some points.
Yeah, well, you know that Hoyer's going to be doing the same thing next week. So,
hey, Hoyer, if you're in a jam with a mean quarterback, Hoyer has done phenomenal for the Browns. He pretty much gets you a touchdown to 3 touchdowns every week and not many turnovers. I think this was his first pick of the season today.
It was his first pick of the season.
First turnover for the team.
And did you know that this was the biggest comeback from behind on the road in NFL history by any team?
Wow.
25 points behind. Yep. Biggest comeback.
Wow. Now,
I guess it's good we're astonishing people to the positive.
For a change.
Now let me ask you this. I'm going to put this here on the floor here. You know, I still believe that Brian Hoyer is a 3-game losing streak away from losing his job. How secure do you think his job this season?
Talk about Mr. Negativity. Wow.
Let's let the commissioner speak, please. Go ahead, Mr. Commissioner.
Every week he plays like this. Every week he keeps us from turnovers and gets us 20-plus points is another week that he probably adds on to his total of weeks longer that he's going to have the job. Today, Brian Hoyer put us in a chance to win, and we won. Brian Hoyer is 5-2 as a starter. Think about that for a second. Think about how many quarterbacks have started for the Cleveland Browns over the last 20 years and how many of them have better than a .500 record. I bet you can't name one. So Brian Hoyer, every week, puts us in a position to win. Today, at 3 touchdowns, 280 yards probably. Is that a guy you want to bench right now who has put us in a position that, you know what, in the next 4 games, we got Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Oakland, and Tampa Bay. In the next 4 games, let's say he wins 3 of those. Do you really want to even talk about Johnny Manziel at that point?
Okay. I don't think it happens if he wins, if he continues to win. I guess the question that I would have is, do you think his job is secure no matter what this year?
No, because if he comes out and they do not respond to these next four winnable games that they have, then, yeah, they're going to look to make a change, and Brian Hoyer is going to be the first one on the chopping block because they have a Johnny Manziel sitting there.
Why are we having this conversation? Ye of little faith, double-minded man can expect nothing from his quarterback. I wouldn't want to work for y'all for anything. If I heard this, I'd...
I, I agree with you. I think we should let him have him more of a leash. I really do, because I think the kid is playing very well. We all forget he's only 27 years old, and the team is responding. Actually, when you look at the Browns, what is the most consistent part of that team right now? And it's the offense. And can anybody name the reason they're so consistent? Because they got a hot guy behind center right now that the team believes in.
Yeah, that brings us to another question. What the hell is going on with the defense, man?
Wait a minute.
I don't know. We put all these draft picks and money into the defense, and they're not getting the job done. But I don't think we give up on them yet. That's 5 weeks in the season, and there's about a half every game where you say, all right, that's the defense I'm looking for. Like today. Today they responded. There was a couple times that we thought, oh, Charlie Winhurst, the backup for the Titans, is going to beat us, and they come up with a big sack, or they knock down the ball, or they make, you know, we had a little-known defense back, Williams, who made a couple plays today. I think the potential is there. You got a leader in Dansby, but I think guys like Whitner and Hayden and, you know, these other veterans have to show up and get this defense kicking. And it's there. We've seen it. But I think it starts up front. That defensive line is not taking up the blockers and allowing the linebackers to make plays.
Perhaps they received the call. Like in the movie The Last Boy Scout with Damian Wayans and Bruce Willis, when that guy gets a call from the mob that he better chill out. maybe he got the call.
Or maybe they changed the pizza in the locker room.
Can we talk about, they do have great food at that place. Can we talk about something that people are ignoring right now? We're talking about the defense. We're talking about the quarterback. But there is a man that stands between defense and quarterback that makes it all go down. And his name is the center. What up with that? Can the center get some? Because the center ain't had none in a long time.
All now, right. We have a Alex very Mack? Good center. Yeah.
We only have one guy that maybe prevents this guy from getting crushed every week and losing his job and throwing away the games. Okay.
Actually, Joe Thomas talked this week about how important Alex Mack is to this team. And what are the Browns doing this year besides a good offense that's making their offense work? The blocking, I don't think we've ever had this good of an offense.
No, that's true.
We're getting consistent 100-yard running games for a running back. I mean, how many times have we said that? Brian Hoyer is standing upright. He survived 5 games. That alone deserves a medal.
All right.
I'm sorry. Your daddy said it's time to put you in timeout.
Let everybody know what your social media is, my friend.
Social media is @TheMcGill, and my website is brownsland.com. I also want to say to my father that I am actually having dinner with your sister and brother-in-law and your two nieces right now.
God bless you.
Oh, awesome.
You.
What up, fam?
Make them listen to the show.
Are they listening to the show?
Actually, they do listen to the show.
What?
All right.
They do. All the way out in Fresno, California, they are big fans.
Glendale?
Fresno.
Okay. Fresno, California.
Fresno! What's up?
Fresno.
Home of Fresno State.
About 100 and some odd degrees every day.
I once ran away from a soccer match at Fresno, but we won't talk about that before the break. You are tuned into The Avenue. I'm the Andre Cato. You will never forget it.
The Avenue Radio Show.
Oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
On AM 1420, The Answer.
And it's nice to know that our producer has fun with this sometimes. Shout out to Antoine Murray. You're listening to The Avenue. This is Doug McGill, along with the elegant Brittany Williams, Darvio, the Kingpin Morrow, and the man soon to leave for Mamou, Louisiana, looking for the secret to his sartorial style, Mr. Andre Cato. All right, now it's time for
my favorite segment of the
Doug's
show.
Doug's Pile of Fun, and we start off.
Hold on, where is the
Wait a minute. It's like Rick Rude, bring the music.
There we go. Let's go, Doug.
We have a proper kickoff here. All right, police in Newark, Delaware are looking for a young couple. Newark is one of those picturesque little towns in Delaware, right off of the parking lot of the Galleria building on Main Street, just in the rear lot in front of a dumpster. A young couple, a college-age couple, were having sex.
Copulating?
In broad daylight. And they didn't realize that passersby were filming them until somebody shouted out to them. Now, I don't know about you. Now, I've hung out with some wild and crazy people in my past, but I don't think there's ever a woman I could ever imagine asking, hey, you want to go have sex by a dumpster in a parking lot in broad
daylight?
And
they'd be okay with it.
I just don't get that. But, you know, this guy may be more persuasive than me. He's going to be a salesman for IBM someday. All right, and then there's this story out of Louisiana, out of two English teachers at a high school that brought a 16-year-old boy to
only heartache comes out of Louisiana and headaches.
I know. Well, this in this case, this 16-year-old is going to be talking about this for the rest of his life. Uh-oh. So they had a menage a trois with two English teachers.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
what?
It's crazy.
I want my mom's tax money back.
You know,
I never got
this
kind of treatment.
I never had teachers like that. I want to go back
never,
to school.
They were hot, too.
They were good looking.
Oh,
man.
My goodness.
What?
All right, now Andre's excited now. He's going to be reading this for the rest of the show, but that means he won't interrupt. All right, now you guys knew what poutine is, don't you?
Yes.
I don't.
It's Brittany a new creatine?
No. Well, you know, you actually held in. I was pretty good. An American won the World Poutine Eating Championship in Toronto. It has nothing to do with the prior two stories.
Good Lord.
Met Megatoad Stoney won the bout, which had contestants eating a concoction of French fries, gravy, and cheese curds known as poutine. Seriously.
No,
who the heck
it's delicious.
Wants...
Really? It sounds disgusting.
French fries coated in gravy? With cheese on them? Yeah.
No. Not
never.
It's a heart attack on a plate.
Refined palates.
Now, Andre,
the way you reacted to the first two stories he read.
After a hard day of Gaelic football.
We're not asking. All right. Andre, you're certainly aware of all of the quality entertainment that's out there. Did you see Rock of Ages? You know, that movie with Tom Cruise?
Crazy movie.
Yeah.
Well, the movie or the play?
And there's
a
play as well. Musical. Anyway, a Fairfax, Virginia man sent he has spent $25,000 to see the play Rock of Ages 500 times.
That's insane.
And he's a business consultant, so you know maybe we can bring him here into Cleveland.
Right? He can like he could just give us some money. It'll be a better investment investing in the Avenue than doing that. That was stupid.
I don't know how I got into this, but. I started researching things on the internet, and there's a dog named Lazarus. Lazarus, you know, and you're familiar with the biblical story about Lazarus.
Yes, correct.
Animal control officer Wanda Snell, a veterinarian, inserted a needle into the black and brown mutt and injected a chemical meant to euthanize the dog, which had not been adopted. The animal moved a bit and was still quiet by the time she left the shelter. What Snell can't explain is how or why a mixed breed dog that nobody wanted recovered overnight and has since bounced back fully from what should have been a lethal injection.
It was a miracle.
It was.
Wow.
And, of course, we all have been involved in social media. Some people get a little out of hand with this. A man who has been jailed in England for killing his friend after he poked the man's girlfriend on Facebook. 27-year-old Scott Humphrey repeatedly punched his friend Richard Rovetto after finding out he Facebook poked his girlfriend while asking.
My goodness.
Who pokes people on Facebook?
I've never understood the point. I get pokes and I poke back because I get poked, but I've never understood.
I think pokes. I mean, poking was like the first thing that they came up with.
The timid and the cowardice is a way of getting initial.
Well, I know what it means, but it's just like.
Well, what does I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
The poke function has been on Facebook since like day one.
It's just
that
like
was
saying
the whole
hello.
Point. Yeah,
it's saying hello, hi.
But no one does that anymore.
Get back to me.
People who
I
don't know how
get
to initiate
upset when I get poked.
People who are brand new to Facebook.
Oh, so Antoine would have been one of these people in the story killing someone because he got poked.
Yeah, that would have been me.
You know what would have been more annoying if the guy friend asked her to like play Candy Crush and stuff like that. I would have found that to be far more annoying than poking.
I mean, well, I think would it be far more, inappropriate.
Right. Well, yeah. And
why'd you punch him? Sent my girl a Farmville request.
All right, Andre, I was thinking about you when I saw this story. The Green Bay Packers have quite a culinary event going on up there at Packers Stadium in Green Bay. They're selling a 22-inch kielbasa smothered in beer, cheese, and sauerkraut. It's called the horse collar. Holy smokes.
Good God.
Who the heck would ever eat that?
Someone who wants to die.
That's a meal that you'll see served on Blackish or something like that.
The views and opinions of Doug McGill are not necessarily those of the Avenue.
That was wrong from beginning to end for too many reasons.
All right, we're moving right along on that. And New York, a 565-pound former pimp. Can you imagine this? And convicted
that's
sex
a strong
offender.
Pimp hand.
He called the New York Post to complain about his taxpayer-funded stay at a Queens Medical Center, saying his bed was too small and his food is scanty and bland. Kenneth Harvey is in extended care and rehabilitation, has made his 5-month stay. 5 months. It costs 10 grand a month to put this guy.
Let me
there.
See this guy.
Only 10 grand?
Seriously.
What's his condition besides being
obese?
Morbidly obese. Oh, that's the condition?
And he was arrested.
Three.
All right. Well, that concludes another session of The Avenue. Thanks for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it.
Really.
And we look forward to seeing you again next week. Well, actually, having you listen to us.
We got
to
go back to the
future. Hit us up on theavenueradio.com and on social media. And
yeah.
Please do. All right. This is Doug McGill along with Brittany Williams, Darvio Moro, and Andre Cato saying goodnight. We'll see you.
Peace. Right on, man.